The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Welcome to Let's Just Talk with Katherine Raker, sponsored by A Private Place, Bagwell, Dan Perkins Author, Don Greco Novels, IDI Dentistry, Dr. James Butler, iMarketing, Web Design and Web Hosting, Integrated Healthcare Solutions, Pucker Urban Farms, Next Stage, Skip Kenny Barbecue, Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Ultimate Air Shuttle, and Veterans in Defense of Liberty. You're listening to W4CY.
Hi, this is Katherine Raker of Let's Just Talk. You know, a new report is exploring what buyers and sellers can expect to see from the housing market this coming year. And being a real estate agent as well, a referral realtor, I would really like to know what's happening in the world of housing. We have with us today Trulia senior economist Cheryl Young, and she can tell home buyers and sellers everything they need to know for this home buying season. And here are some of Trulia's housing market predictions she's going to give us for 2019 and how they will impact home buyers and sellers. Welcome to our show today, Cheryl, and can you tell me what should consumers expect to see from the housing market for 2019?
Yeah, thanks for having me. So,
sure, welcome.
In 2019, you know, I think what we're starting to see, a trend that started in 2018, is that the housing market is starting to turn the tide a little bit. We're starting to see home price growth slow. It hasn't gone down. It's slowed a little bit. We're starting to see home sales flatten or drop off. And that's telling us that things are cooling off because it's been a really hot, hot, hot housing market, right, for the past few years.
But we're in winter right now. And usually during that period of time, there isn't a lot of, maybe in New York City and other certain cities there are, but around the country where there's ice and snow and stuff like that, people aren't as willing to put their houses on the market. Isn't that true?
Certainly, yeah. Winter is definitely a slower season for home buying and selling as places get cold, and it's not a great time. You know, that picks up again in the spring. I think the trends we've been seeing actually started late last spring, and they've been continuing till now. But, you know, I think a lot of home buyers who have been really frustrated by the market think that it may be a sign of relief, but it's definitely still really challenging for home buyers. We're still, in 2019, we're still going to see super low inventory, not a lot of supply out there. And, you know, with home prices going up for so many years and outpacing wage growth, we're really seeing it become sort of unaffordable for a lot of people, especially first-time home buyers.
Well, I want to tell you something. I was in a meeting yesterday here in Ohio, mm-hmm. and actually there is more here for first-time home buyers with certain mortgage companies than not, and the sales are doing extremely well.
Oh, yeah, that's great news. That's great news for those first-time home buyers.
I mean, more so than, say, the person that hasn't, because there's all kinds of new programs, and she's from a major mortgage company, and the rates are excellent right now. They actually went down.
Yep, the rates just went down a few weeks ago, so,
right.
You know, that's a little bit of relief as well.
Right. You know, I think that we go through, at least as long as I've been in real estate, we go through trends in the real estate market. Actually, I have noticed that I've sold more as a referral realtor in the last 2 years than I have in a long time. So I think because of the tax rate and a few other things, why aren't people willing to, and we were so overinflated, wouldn't you say, on our pricing?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of, you know, I think it's kind of a fault of a lot of things. I mean, mortgages, or not mortgages, but house prices in California especially, we're out of this stupid world. and certain areas across the country. So how can people afford the prices that they were putting on the values of their house? That has a lot to do with it too, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that price growth and some of the prices that you see in those, like, expensive coastal cities. I sit in San Francisco, was one of the most expensive cities in the country. They were not sustainable, right? And especially, you know, with those home prices going up so high, wages aren't catching up. And so we're seeing a little bit of a correction. I think that's what the slowdown is about right now, is that, you know, people were willing to buy homes because there's been so much demand and there hasn't been a lot of inventory. But, you know, there is a threshold at which people are unwilling to buy because it becomes so expensive.
Well, in certain cities like New York City, especially. And you know, California, I mean, I have relatives that are all over the country, and I've lived all over the country. I mean, there's buys in certain areas, right, that are better than not. I mean, so I think that we have to really look around, especially, I think there's so many new programs for first home buyers that they are in a better position, especially, you know, millennials and others, to buy homes right now, and they're not afraid to buy.
Yeah, that's right. I think, you know, millennials, that's actually a really good point. We have millennials right now. We're starting to see them. You know, I think for a while people were wondering, when are they really going to come out in droves and come into the housing market? This is the age at which people buy homes. They started a little bit later. They're having families later. But, you know, last year we really saw the home ownership rate go back up again. It's been kind of down since the recession. And the people really driving that rate were people under 35. So, like you said, I think there are younger people who are now really ready to jump into the housing market, and that trend is going to continue into 2019.
And haven't you seen that more people are moving into the urban areas that are being redone? At least here in this region, that's what's happened. Kids, in other words, millennials want to be closer to their jobs, or they want to have different types of entertainment and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So those kind of first-time home buyers are buying in areas that there's programs going on for them, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also, and they're excited about it because it's their first place. I mean, my niece, when she bought her first home, there were so many things that she could get out of that first-time home buyer thing that she was crazy not to buy a house.
Yeah, I think there's this really interesting thing that's happening right now, which is that young people want to live in urban centers where there are a lot of amenities. Maybe they don't want to drive a car even, right? And you have some downtown areas that are also trying to revitalize and providing incentives for people to move in. So that's a perfect opportunity for young people to take advantage of those.
And more people that are in the older age bracket of boomers and stuff are not giving up their homes as much.
Mm-hmm.
They've decided they want to stay in place.
Yep.
At least that's what I'm seeing trend-wise. And if they need help, they're bringing in health care instead of going into first, second, third, and fourth stage living facilities.
Yeah, that's right. I think, you know, we've seen boomers as they go into retirement not move out of their homes like we used to see, right? So that actually is impacting supply, right? Because they're hanging on to their homes a little bit longer. They're not putting them back on the market for people to trade up into. So that is something that I think has had an impact on supply, and, you know, that may be a trend, right? As people, more and more people want to age in place, and there are more support systems like home care and things like that that allow people to do that.
Well, and a lot of people that are my age and are boomers aren't quitting their jobs.
Yeah,
they're retiring from one thing and going into another, and so maybe their kids are moving back in with them, or their grandchildren are. Mm-hmm. I mean, so there's a lot of things I think that changed the trends from when my mother retired.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, it's a very different marketplace right now, especially for housing and the job market, right? So people are making different kinds of decisions. They may be delayed. They may actually just not move at all. So a lot of things are going on that, yeah, exactly. They're different than they were a generation ago.
And people don't want, unfortunately, to come off their price. I talked to somebody the other day, and she was selling her house, and I said, how long has it been on the market? And she told me, and I said, well, it's got to do with price, probably. What are you asking for it? Are you negotiable? And she went, well, not really. And I thought, well, you're not going to move it very fast if you don't do some sort of negotiation. You know, and a lot of times they still have that thought in their mind, I'm not going to change it. Somebody's going to come in and totally create it. But first-time home buyers want it done. Am I right?
Yes. I think that's true. And I would say, you know, you're, as someone who's a real estate agent, is the best person they should listen to, right? They should listen
that's
to the expert
right.
who
yeah.
knows what they should be doing. So
right. I can't thank you enough for coming on today.
Yeah.
And where can people get more information about the trends and what's happening and the mortgage rates and so on and so forth?
Yep, you can check us out at trulia.com/research. It'll have all our latest reports on housing market trends.
All right, and thank you so very much for joining us today. And we'll be right back after these important messages. Thank you.
Thank you.
Catherine, we'll be right back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk on W4CY.
Are you or someone you love living with chronic kidney disease or on dialysis? NxStage may be able to help you live a healthier, longer life with more frequent home hemodialysis. Home hemodialysis is a different way of doing hemodialysis. Instead of going to a dialysis center, home hemodialysis with NxStage System 1 is performed in the comfort of your own home. The System 1 offers flexible therapy options, including performing your treatments during the day or at night while you sleep, allowing you to spend your day your way. Talk to your doctor to see if home hemodialysis is right for you, or call one of our patient consultants to learn more about your treatment options at 888-200-6456. The NxStage System 1 is a prescription device. All forms of hemodialysis, including treatments performed in-center and at home, involve some risk. In addition, there are certain risks unique to treatment in the home environment and specific to nocturnal use. Patients differ, and not everyone will experience the reported benefits of more frequent home hemodialysis. Call 888-200-6456.
Love cooking, baking, and working in the kitchen, home, or garden? Have you ever realized two hands just aren't enough? You need Bagwell, the sealable bag holder. Bagwell is like having an extra set of hands when pouring, scooping, storing, or packing anything from leftovers to Legos. This incredible four-pronged bag holder keeps your sealable bag open so you can fill it with your need. Then close the bag and you are ready to go. I keep one in my kitchen, hobby room, and kids' room. Check out Bagwell at www.thebagwell.com.
If America will be saved, veterans will save her. If America will be saved, veterans in defense of liberty will save her. Today, we are engaged in a genuine battle for the heart and soul of America. Do you believe that our oath and our obligation to our country continues until the day of our death? That America and the future of humanity is worth saving? If so, and you are a veteran or a staunch supporter, join Veterans in Defense of Liberty, which is first and foremost a brotherhood, sisterhood of veterans, fully dedicated to maintaining the integrity of our republic based on the correct moral and constitutional principles. Visit us on Facebook and go to vidolamerica.org, vidolamerica.org.
Hey Cincinnati, Rick and Noel here from Ultimate Air Shuttle. We're excited to announce 2019 marks our 10-year anniversary serving the Cincinnati community. Start the new year by saving time and money when you fly Ultimate Air Shuttle.
Take advantage of 25% off round-trip tickets to New York City, Chicago, Atlanta, Charlotte, and Cleveland. For you weekend travelers out there, now through April 1st, flights start at just $149 each way. Supply is limited, so book now. Thank you, Cincinnati, for flying Ultimate Air Shuttle for 10 years. Because of you, we are here today and will be tomorrow.
Ultimate Air Shuttle flights are public charters sold and operated by Ultimate Jet Charters, LLC, as director of carrier. Did you know that memory loss now affects almost 7 million people in America? And the Alzheimer's Research Foundation estimates that by the year 2050, there will be 50 million people with dementia in America. Are you preparing your family, especially your grandchildren, for this issue? This is Dan Perkins, and I'm the author of a new book for children ages 9 to 12 and their families to help them understand that it's not their fault when Grammy can't remember them. Why Can't Grammy Remember Me is available at Amazon or through your local bookseller. Don't make your grandchildren part of the lost generation.
Hi, this is Catherine Raker of Let's Just Talk. Do you want to read wonderful novels about historic, wonderful places in Youngstown, Ohio? Then you need to get Don Greco's books. He's a wonderful author that wrote the series, The Youngstown Quintet. His latest book is The Maladrin. And the nice thing about his books are they're not about spies. They're not about zombies. They're just ordinary people that read that have extraordinary lives. So visit DonGrecoNovels.com or go buy his books on Amazon.com.
We're back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker on W4CY.
Hi, this is Catherine Raker of Let's Just Talk. You know, from virtual assistants and smart glasses to stress-busting fitness trackers and real-time translation devices, wearable technology is set to redefine the 21st century workplace. So what do we all need to know about this workforce superpower? Shankar Iyer is the GM of End User Computing at VMware, and where he is joining us today live from San Francisco with insights on how wearables are changing the way we live and work. Welcome, Shankar. How are you today?
Good. Thanks, Catherine. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, it's amazing, you know, wearing your smartwatch or whatever. It's important for people to understand what we're doing and what things are happening. You know, many of us wear these devices, like I just said, smartwatches, or for personal tasks, like reading text on the go or tracking fitness goals or checking the weather. Can you tell us how these devices are starting to be used in our everyday world at work? Can you tell me that?
Yeah, absolutely, Catherine. So as you rightly said, the most common devices we as consumers are using today are fitness trackers and smartwatches for the purposes you talked about. But they are starting to make a great impact on the workplace. So not just smartwatches, but there are smart glasses. There are a new breed of earwear that we call hearables. And besides that, there's a broader category of smart devices that we at VMware called Workspace IoT for Internet of Things. So these are things like smart printers, proximity-based sensors, and smart boards, and so on. So let me give you a quick example that we can all relate to. So how many of us have walked into our workplace at work early in the morning at 8 o'clock wanting to get to a meeting, and you're trying to pull out your badge, and voila, it's not there. You look, you're rummaging through your handbag or your briefcase, you can't find it, and you think, boy, I left it on that coffee table at home. But what if instead you had your smartwatch and it basically authenticated you, allowed you to enter that building by connecting to essentially an electronic badge reader and popped you into the building without having to do anything? You're just breezing through, right? Like in the movies, I suppose. But if you could do that, it just saves a lot of heartache and time.
Especially stress.
You got it.
I mean, we're all trying to find something, you know, like that, for instance. So the watch itself is programmed, the wearable is programmed, am I correct?
Absolutely. The watch is programmed. It's not just programmed. I think one of the things we do at VMware is also make sure that watch is safe. So, it's protected, it's managed, it's secured so that, you know, only you can enter the building and not somebody else who masquerades as yourself.
So it actually has your footprint, your eye print, something, your fingerprint, something, so that when you walk in, it is really you.
Exactly.
Okay, so can I ask another question? What's the potential impact of wearables and how we work, and what are some of the wearables besides the watch that we're talking about?
Yeah, great question, Catherine. So it has multiple points of impact. So let's use some examples here, right? So one of the industries where it's, you know, this is being adopted is what we call heavy industry. Classic case is aircraft manufacturing. Think of a Boeing, a GE Aviation, and so on. And you have these workers that are doing very, very complex assemblies of parts. And
right.
So, for example, we know at Boeing, they're using essentially, you know, Google Glass to help in wire harness assembly. So that's an example where it not just saves time for the worker, but it actually makes that assembly far less error-prone, right? Because the instructions are right there. It's contextual. You can use your hands as you sort of assemble that wire harness, and the thing just works much more beautifully than otherwise, right? Another example is healthcare, where you have nurses on the go. They don't have much time. They're trying to get to a patient, and you know, what if? And this is happening, by the way. They get the right messages on their smartwatch telling them where to go, and not just that, they, you know, it gives them directions, navigation instructions to where that patient's bed is. They go there, and you know, the smartwatch signals the monitor on the patient's desk. And the application of the electronic medical record just pops up, and it not just increases the customer experience for the patient, but actually helps that hospital or the clinic deliver better care. So these are a couple of examples where they are fundamentally impacting productivity, quality, safety, and security.
Are you doing it in glasses?
Yeah, so smart glasses are ones that are used, getting used quite a bit. Manufacturing is one industry. Another place, they're being used is glasses are being used in sort of mixed reality situations in retail, for example. Let's say you walk into a store and you see this dress and you say, wow, I love this dress. But, the salesperson tells you, sorry, it's not in your size or it's not in your color. And they said, we can order it and have it shipped to you. And you're like, I don't know. I don't know if this other color is going to look good on me with a size fit. But imagine the smart glass comes in. It takes a picture of you and the dress and sort of does some correlation and, effectively shows you a visual of how you look in that particular dress of a different color or size. And you say, hey, this fit. This looks cool. Let me just go get it. And you go, and next day you have it shipped to your door, and it all works.
Okay, so the glasses are on you. Are they on the retail person, the salesperson? What?
They're on you. You're basically looking through the glass at yourself, right? And it's like looking in a mirror and saying, okay, hey, I look good, which is what
okay.
You do.
Yeah. That's awesome. So you're wearing the glasses.
Yeah.
So is this going to be a trend where you see people, and I wear glasses, unfortunately, all the time anymore.
Me too.
Because, right. I have no choice.
Yeah.
So is it going to be in my glasses, or is it going to be something that I'm going to go up and put into my glasses? Tell me that.
That's a fantastic question. I suppose, in the future, you could envision that your glass had this ability to turn smart when you needed to, right?
Why not?
Just like your watch,
Right.
For a lot of times, it's just a watch that tells you time, and in fact, I'm looking at my Apple Watch right now, and it just looks like a regular watch with an analog dial. So you could envision the same. Now, I don't know if they're making glasses like that. Today, the Google Glass is a separate sort of thing, if you will. But I suppose you could have glasses in the future that just turn smart when you at a touch of a button or a sensor.
Right, because you're wearing them, and you forget your watch and you've got your glasses, then
you're there.
You can see it. Right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Brilliant. My whole family lives out in San Francisco. I love that area. People are just so far ahead. Are there certain industries that are ahead of the curve when it comes to wearable adoption?
Yeah, I think one of the industries we see probably the furthest ahead because of need is manufacturing, right? So mm-hmm. many companies, Honeywell, GE, Boeing, all these companies are already starting to use it. And a big part of that is just making life simpler for their workers. And I think quality and safety are big, big drivers. So manufacturing is definitely one. Retail, the example I used of the dress, is starting to use it. Healthcare is starting to use it. And then we're also seeing this in generally in sort of office, what I call, more of technology-centric offices where, there are these devices that we call workspace IoT for Internet of Things. There are a bunch of smart devices connected together. So imagine in an office setting, many people walk into a conference room, turn on the projector, and do a presentation. Often it's a difficult task, and I've seen many a meeting where there's a lot of people, 20 people, and you know the thing doesn't work. Okay. So imagine you walked in and used your smartwatch to connect to an iPad and detected that Catherine came in and you know fired up your presentation right on the projector as soon as you walked into the room, right? And if that worked, you would save tons of people time. So those are the other areas where I think it's starting to get used more and more.
So you're an end user of VMware, correct?
Yeah, so VMware, we have many divisions, and one of our divisions is end-user computing. We focus on computing technologies that benefit end users. Of course, we sell to businesses that use these technologies to stitch together these experiences I talked about for end users, so make it compelling for them to use and stitch together multiple pieces of technology so ultimately they can deliver these experiences I talked about. So that's what we do.
And where can people go for additional information, because I can imagine that people that are listening to this show, and I'm really ahead of the curve in my brain as far as technology is concerned, but we also are very smart about how we deliver all of this information to people. So if you wouldn't mind giving me your website or where we can go to get more information, I'd like to pass it along.
Absolutely, Catherine. So people can go to vmware.com, as it VMWARE.com, and you know, search on IoT or workspace, and you'll find a wealth of information on how to sort of adopt these experiences, either because you're an employee or an employer that wants to sort of enable your workers to get far more productive.
We're on 93 apps, by the way. We have a free app that you can download for your iPhone. All you have to do is go to Let's Just Talk, and you can see it, and you can hear us everywhere. And I can't thank you enough for allowing me to do an interview with you today and to pass this important message about the future for people. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Catherine. It's been my pleasure.
You're welcome. Thank you, and we'll be right back on Catherine Raker's Let's Just Talk.
Catherine, we'll be right back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk on W4CY.
Pucker Urban Farm, a subsidiary of Integrated Healthcare Solutions, launched a new product called Mrs. Pucker's Lemon Shots. These all-organic lemon-based drinks provide a wealth of healthy vitamins in a drink. Vitamin P, a powerful flavonoid found in the skin of the lemon. Vitamin C, an antioxidant and immune booster. And D-limonene, a natural fat cleanser found in the oil of the lemon. Drinking Mrs. Pucker's Lemon Shots is like getting the benefits of eating the whole lemon. These powerful drinks help change the acid level of our bodies into a healthier alkaline environment. They help break down our food, flush out toxins, and stimulate the pancreas, improving nutrient absorption in the small intestine. If you're looking for a way to get healthier, this small 4-ounce drink can put you on the right track to feeling and looking better. Check them out today at PuckerUrbanFarm.com. That's PuckerUrbanFarm.com.
Hi, this is Catherine Raker of Let's Just Talk. Did you ever find yourself rummaging through the clutter in your cupboards of plastic containers with no matching lids? Well, I have the solution for you, and that is the Bagwell, created by another busy mom who understood that necessity is the mother of invention. It is so easy to use, and you don't need that extra set of hands because you already have it with the Bagwell. Go to thebagwell.com and get your Bagwell. It's $6.99 on sale.
We're back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker on W4CY.
Hi, this is Catherine Raker. You know, social media and tech expert Sarah Evans, we're going to share some important information from Las Vegas, what you need to know about trends and technologies at the Consumer Electronics Show this year. And, you know, each year technology becomes more accessible, smarter, and faster. And the Consumer Electronics Show showcases the expected trends for the upcoming year and is the world's gathering place for all those who thrive on the business of consumer technology. The world is racing toward a more connected lifestyle through technology. But what exactly does that mean for the average consumer? So, Sarah will be discussing this year's exciting announcements as well as technology, and will be taking us this coming year. Excited about new smart features, cloud services, or broadband? Sarah's going to share the latest information to keep you up to date. Welcome to our show, Sarah. How are you today?
I am good. I'm excited to talk technology and CES. It's a really fun time.
So what's the thing that surprised you the most this year?
I think it's just the endless connectivity, all of the things that need a broadband connection in order to work in our homes now. I mean, because that's the number one place where we're utilizing all of these devices. We're seeing everything with these, you know, the 8K TVs, autonomous delivery robots. Oral-B has a new AI toothbrush that's going to be connected. And all types of health hacks, too. Wearables, both in the home and out of the home, that are important for people with health issues that can keep you connected to your emergency contacts or your physicians and your medical team. And, of course, a panoramic Wi-Fi for smart homes and all of your devices. I'm a Cox customer here in Las Vegas, and I need that really reliable connectivity from wall to wall in my home. And with all of these CES products, I mean, I want to buy the new foldable robot that folds your laundry for you and really make my life better.
That is awesome. That's great. So you might see that gadget even at the International Houseware Show if it's for laundry. But how does it do it?
So it's an automated machine. You feed the piece of clothing through, and it goes through its, you know, robot magic on the inside, and then it delivers it down at the bottom. It comes out perfectly crisp and folded. So it was fun to watch a demo of that, and that's something that will probably be more for a larger scale production. But I imagine that type of technology, since it exists, will someday be in the homes. Now I just need it to put the clothes away for me.
Yeah, right. And or iron them for you. I remember the wonderful ironers we used to have years ago. Did you see anything in that type of technology?
Well, in the homewares department, I more saw the smart washer, dryer, the folding robot, and items like that, but also the smart home functionality. So not necessarily irons per se, but there may be a connected iron out there that lets you know, you left it on, or here's the temperature, or here's the ideal temperature you need to iron this piece of clothing. But I'm really checking more in that smart home arena, looking to see how everything functions together. So let's say your cars are getting smarter. Your car can tell your house to turn your heat up or down as you get closer to your house, turn your lights on or off. You can set up alerts and things of that nature. So things are getting smarter. They're talking together better, and they're reliant upon that strong broadband connection.
My next question would be then, what do they need us for?
We're just the humans to make it all work, right?
Right.
They need us to be relevant.
That's true. So I'm wondering, how much information do those objects have and give to somebody else? Should we worry about that?
So that's a great question, and you should always be up to date on your privacy settings and finding out about how much information is being shared and with whom. If you're using a smartphone or tablet device to control a lot of those devices, or your smart home hub, you can check to see what privacy settings are turned on, location settings. Of course, if you have kids in the home, as a mom and of two youngsters, I have tablet devices, and I keep location settings turned off. I keep internet chat functionality turned off. So I'm lucky to be on top of a lot of those things, but consumers do have to educate themselves to make sure that they understand.
Right. And so the other thing is that I want to know is, actually, has TV changed? Did you see anything in the TV arena or entertainment area?
TV is always changing and evolving, from both the physical component, so we're seeing 8K TVs, Sony's releasing one later this year, to rollable TVs, something that LG has just launched, where you press a button and the TV disappears into a console. so it becomes just more of a visual table piece instead of your TV, but also inside. If you're a Cox Communications customer with Contour, getting more personalized access and content, being able to integrate other services like Netflix so you can get all of your content in one place. So we're seeing an evolution of what it looks like and how we actually consume the content.
And that's what I really love about the new smart televisions. I love them because it knows you. It knows your favorite. It knows your favorite television. Because almost, I have three televisions that are smart TVs and one that's not. I want to get rid of the one that's not. You know what I mean? That's the only thing I've noticed, that, you know, the older televisions don't have the same capability that the new TVs have, right? So did that surprise you in any way, the new electronics like TVs, and is there anything different in smartphones or actually tablets?
So from the smartphone space, we did just see the first 5G phone from Samsung come to fruition. The first phone call on a 5G network was made by Intel. And then, of course, the 10 gigabit announcement from the cable industry. So we need that home connectivity to make everything work. And it's great to have access to wonderful Wi-Fi and cellular service outside of the home. But really, we need it inside our businesses and our homes to make everything function. Really, I treat Wi-Fi as the conduit, as the in-between, till I can get to my stronger, more reliable connection in the home. And in fact, of course, when I get home, my smartphone goes directly to my home Wi-Fi because I don't want to use up all of my data for the amount of streaming and work, photo sharing, movie watching that we do. I need that.
Right. And that's the other thing, is making sure that you have enough Wi-Fi for all the different electronics that you might have. Is there, you know, and the alarm systems today are so wonderful. Did you see anything on that? Was that there this year?
Well, and just addressing your point with accessibility to making sure you have enough Wi-Fi. So Cox customers now in 90% of their areas have access to gigabit internet speeds. So that means there's more than enough. So my 50-plus devices are running really without any issue. And then from the smart home space, we're seeing more connectivity among those items. So what was more maybe of a fragmented market is working together better. So your front door camera can control your front door lock that you can access from your smartphone. You can keep an eye on things. You have visual camera opportunities when you're outside of the home. You can control your home both inside and outside with your thermostats, door locks, lighting. So we're really seeing it all work better together.
Yeah, and that's one thing I love about being gone, and because I have to travel,
yes,
and I can watch and see what's happening at the front door, the back door, and the basement or wherever,
mm-hmm,
and it just makes it a lot easier. It keeps me feeling more secure that I don't have to worry about what's going on.
Yes.
That's the most important thing, I think, that people have to think about. And especially if you are gone at Christmas time and you see, because we see all these commercials with little robbers coming to the front door and they're scared about that or whatever. You know what I'm talking about. So what is, do you think, is going to be the new trend in 2019 in electronics?
I think we're going to see more of an evolution in autonomous robots. I know Segway just showed an autonomous delivery robot. We're seeing self-driving food delivery with GM and DoorDash, and then a continued growth in the connectivity space. If we're preparing for 10 gigs to homes in the next few years, that means we're preparing for more consumers having more internet-connected devices in the home.
Where can people get more information, Sarah?
You can follow along with hashtag CES2019 online. For any of the products that I mentioned today, you can go to cox.com.
And I can't thank you enough. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll be right back after these important messages.
Catherine, we'll be right back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk on W4CY.
iMarketing.com provides easily editable websites to small business owners. And if they don't want to make the changes to the site themselves, they can simply email their changes to iMarketing.com and they'll take care of it at no additional cost. Websites cost only $795, and hosting, which includes all maintenance to the website, is only $39.95 a month. iMarketing.com is also a Google certified partner, which means you'll get your website listed on over 1,000 search engines across the internet very quickly. iMarketing.com works with Google daily to create campaigns and to optimize them. Let iMarketing.com help you get your share of the web by calling 513-942-7869, or you can email iMarketing.com at sales@i-mktg.com today.
One of the greatest barbecue sauces ever has landed in Cincinnati. Skip Kenny Barbecue Sauce is a barbecue sauce like no other, and they have plenty of different flavors for every occasion. Be sure to try the Skip Kenny Spicy Barbecue Sauce, Skip Kenny Sweet Barbecue Sauce, and of course, the Skip Kenny Barbecue Sauce with secret ingredients. If the sauce isn't enough for you, you'll love Skip Kenny's Barbecue Rub. Skip Kenny Barbecue Sauce is available at Jungle Gyms in Fairfield and in Eastgate.
Hi, this is Catherine Raker of Let's Just Talk. Do you want to read wonderful novels about historic, wonderful places in Youngstown, Ohio? Then you need to get Don Greco's books. He's a wonderful author that wrote the series, The Youngstown Quintet. His latest book is The Maladrin. And the nice thing about his books are they're not about spies. They're not about zombies. They're just ordinary people that read that have extraordinary lives. So visit DonGrecoNovels.com or go buy his books on Amazon.com.
We're back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker on WCY.
You know, every January, millions of Americans enter the new year with a firm resolution to get better in shape. But while it may seem that everybody's hitting the gym, for many, there's one type of wellness that ranks even higher than that, of the physical sort, I mean. That's called financial health. Joining us today, whether our financial situations are out of shape or rock solid, is Elizabeth Kozak from Marcus by Goldman Sachs. Welcome to our show, Elizabeth. And, you know, this is true. Everybody tries to get in shape in January. But what about what's happening to us financially? You actually just did a survey, I think.
Yes.
And we'd like to know what's going on and how do consumers feel about their financial fitness. And welcome to our show.
Thank you so much for having me, Catherine. Delighted to be here.
So can you tell us what you found out on the survey and when was the survey done?
The survey was completed in December, and this time of year, we all start thinking about our overall well-being and ways to improve upon it. And what our survey found was finances are at the top of many people's lists. In fact, 64% of Americans feel they're not in the best financial shape they could be, and 74% of Americans feel that their financial health actually has an impact on their overall health. So we felt this was a great opportunity for us to provide tips and tricks to help get the new year off on the right foot on a financial perspective with tips that are free and accessible to everyone and easy to use.
Okay, so you found that was what the results of the survey were. What can consumers do to start 2019 off on the right financial foot? And because the stock market is so volatile right now, and the political scene is so crazy, what would your advice be to people?
Well, gym memberships and diets at this time of year after the holidays may be at the top of many New Year's resolutions lists, but I think losing debt is just as important as losing pounds, and your financial fitness just as important as your physical fitness. With that in mind, Marcus has released financial workouts to help people get their finances in shape. So people can pick from 4 financial personality types and receive a concrete workout plan to help them learn how to manage debt, boost savings, track your spending, plan for retirement, and even manage wealth.
And with a lot of people not wanting to retire, and they don't want to retire to nothing, right? It's not the same as our parents. So what do you tell somebody when they say, I don't want to retire, I want to continue to do what I want to do for the rest of my life?
Well, one of the things that we think about is what are some of the ways to make sure you're in the best financial shape you could be? One of those might be paying off high interest credit card debt, for example. Marcus offers personal loans that are no fee and fixed rate. But typically with a personal loan, there's actually a very low awareness of loans. I think
3/4 of Americans are not aware that credit cards can be used to pay off high-interest credit card debt. So you could save between 3 and 500 basis points, or 3 to 5 points, on your APR with those personal loans. Another great way to set yourself up for, you know, that future retirement is to think about your savings. We offer online savings accounts that are they have no transaction fees whatsoever. They are easy to open. You can open up with just $1, so there's no minimum deposit amount. And we also offer a rate of 2.25%, which is 4 times the national average. Who doesn't want to earn a little more interest, right? But with just $1, you can start saving and start to see a return. And if you're looking for an easy way to keep track of your finances, you can download our free personal financial management app, Clarity Money, which can help you track spending, monitor your accounts, and the app will even suggest canceling unwanted subscriptions you may not need anymore. So you might have forgotten about that that premium subscription you signed up for months ago. That's an immediate way to identify ways to start saving today.
Well, I learned how to save something yesterday or the day before when I found out that I had, when I went to go to the phone store and found out that I had a device that I'd been paying for over a year that was no longer working.
Interesting.
How about that?
Yes.
I mean, there's little things that you can do to save yourself time and money. And I think that people are getting to the point where they want to cut things out because they want to do other things and enjoy life. I mean, maybe you're sitting in a house that you really don't need anymore, you know, and you want to find something somewhere else or, you know, and look at that situation to get out of that, you know, because what do we have this year to write off? Tell me that.
That's right. Well, I think one of the immediate opportunities, as I mentioned, was canceling those services that you don't use anymore. Part of it, though, is that first step of awareness. A lot of consumers aren't aware. They may not be checking their credit card statements every month for what they actually might be paying for. So I think the first step is definitely awareness. Others might want to stop paying for checking or savings accounts. That's a tip that you'll find from us. You know, there are a lot of opportunities to open up free and fee-free savings accounts, for example, like our online savings account. I think another tip, too, is to think about emergency funds, right? So if you've found opportunities to save, put some of that money into a kitty for the future. If you've started saving a little bit, then build up a bigger emergency fund. Perhaps, say, $1,000 is your first goal.
Okay. And what other suggestions or things happened with what you were finding off the survey? Were you seeing what, can I ask this one question, what were the dynamics of the group that you actually were surveying? How old were they?
Well, it was a subset of Americans, so there was not any specific age, but obviously American adults. And we wanted to understand more about how they feel about their finances and how, I think what it really showed to us and what was so surprising to me was how important financial fitness is to consumers. And it shows how finances are truly top of mind. For example, 40% of Americans plan to start saving better in 2019, and 31% plan to pay off credit card debt. 22% plan to set up a financial plan. So I think that was very interesting for us. And it also, these insights, as well as other conversations we've had, have led to our development of 4 financial personality types and workout plans that we've put onto our website, where consumers can learn how to manage debt or boost their savings, do some of these other activities that can help. That's
so
right.
So tell me, what should people do about a lot of people that are looking at the stock market and looking at the political situation, would you tell them not to get so upset about everything that's going on right now and to put their money into safe situations instead of volatile ones?
Well, the stock market is an important tool in the arsenal of all of your wealth management options. But my role personally focuses on debt management and also on savings. So there will be other experts from Goldman Sachs that will have more to say on that comment. But my focus has been around managing debt and managing savings so that you do have that money available to invest in the right ways and make sure that your money can earn its keep but still be accessible when you need it.
Can you give us a website where people can go, Elizabeth, for more information on the survey and also for tips and stuff for this year for getting healthier financially?
Absolutely. So you can go to marcus.com/financial fitness, and there
Markets,
you can.
Markets. Let's do that again. Markets.
Marcus, marcus.com/financial fitness. And there you will find our four financial personality types. You can figure out what your status is and what tips and tricks will be best for you based on your profile. And also learn more about our products at marcus.com/financial fitness.
Thank you for joining us today. I'm Catherine Rakers. Let's Just Talk. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine.
You've been listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker, sponsored by A Private Place, Bagwell, Dan Perkins Author, Don Greco Novels, IDI Dentistry, Dr. James Butler, iMarketing, Web Design and Web Hosting, Integrated Healthcare Solutions, Pucker Urban Farms, Next Stage, Skip Kenny Barbecue, Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Ultimate Air Shuttle, and Veterans in Defense of Liberty. You're listening to W4CY.